Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
Hi, everyone. I'm joined this morning by Bob Morrison, President and CEO of Quadrant Research. And Bob is, he's our reporter in the field today. Not really, but you're somewhere not at home. Where are you, Bob?
I'm in Indianapolis at the Drum Corps International World Championships.
Yeah, you've had quite a week there. Tell us what's happened this week that's very special we'd like to share with everyone.
Well, this week I was honored to be inducted into the Drum Corps International Hall of Fame for my historic involvement with the activity from the late 1970s through 1992. And I think one of the reasons for the recognition was really twofold. One, my involvement in the activity was I was the person that first came forward with the idea of putting a full percussion ensemble in front of the brass ensemble in the Drum Corps. And as a result, we created this thing called the Front Ensemble, which now, 35 years later, is prevalent in organizations and marching ensembles all over the world. So it was a major innovation at the time for the activity. But they were also recognizing, in part, my ongoing work in advocating for music and arts education programs across the country. As you well know, Mary, we've been at this for a very long time, fighting the good fight. I think they recognize the impact of the work I've done and certainly the work that historically NAMM does to help support those programs.
Yeah, well, congratulations. It's a wonderful, it's wonderful just to pause for a moment after all of that effort, all those years, all that conversations of what if we have, has anyone thought of maybe we should try a lot of fill in the blank, but that musical battery is what I'll call it, that fronts on the hash line right at the bottom of the field as you're looking at a marching band and that beautiful experience that they're creating. Why did you think that that was important for the marching band experience?
Originally, they were marching some of those instruments. So people were, including myself, I carried a marching timpani, a 32-inch marching timpani.
A marching, you carried a marching timpani. Wow.
For one year. And I said, enough of this. And I went to the director. I said, can we please put all the drums down and I can play all of them? And you can have more people in the horn line and you'll have one person playing all four drums. And for me, the idea was moving away from the traditional marching instruments, the marching bells and xylophones, and really creating a new voice that would complement what was going on in the ensemble. Because I was trained in percussion ensemble literature and instrumentation, that's the direction that I wanted to go with the activity. And the whole idea of a percussion ensemble in the front of the field is how we came up with the name Front Ensemble.
And it really is just a powerhouse of musicality.
Yeah, it's another voice to add to the traditional battery percussion and what's happening with the brass lines as well. But there's the real reason I'm here is because my son Andrew is a drum major with Carolina Crown. So I'm just as proud to be here as a drum corps dad as anything.
And then there's that. Well, how exciting is that? Yeah. And the Carolina Crown is one of the nation's top drum corps. So he's been on the road all summer and you're converging there in the finals. That's wonderful.
Yep.
So you've been, we're so grateful to have your engagement with the NAMM Foundation, our support music activity. You've been to Washington with us on our fly-in. So since you're there at Indy in this, at this, I call them the mega music education events. We have a few of them throughout the year. How do these fit into the music education ecosystem across the country? You know, we have school music programs, school districts, we've got champion marching bands that happen. You know, how does this DCI experience fit into this ecosystem?
Well, the DCI experience is kind of the ultimate experience for students that are involved in the marching arts. And what's equally interesting about DCI is many of the members are actually music education majors. So these are future music educators that are looking at what are things that I can learn by being in the ultimate experience at this level that I can then apply to my work when I, you know, go into schools and become a music educator myself. So it really is a breeding ground for the next generation of instrumental music instructor. And it also is a showcase for what these very, very talented students are able to do. I think that's real connection as of a showcase of the best and the brightest, but also then providing them with training so that when they come out into the public schools, that they've been trained by the best in the business.
Yeah, I've also experienced spending, you know, NAM gratefully supports DCI too as a sponsor.
Absolutely.
We engage our NAM members all over the country. DCI is not just this finals event. It has all these regional contests, and these drum corps are actually performing sometimes every day or every other day. Yep. Travel around the country. I also, my first experience with the national contest was I had a sense too that these young people on the field were so musically talented, but this for them was just a real artistic moment for them. You know, they were really coming together as a community of artists. I mean, they were creating something so unique, original compositions, a lot of times original choreography, storytelling. Yes. And I think that's, you know, we can never forget that teachers are also artistic musicians. And this is just kind of a, almost sort of a finishing off experience before they go out and start giving back to the profession. It's always amazing to be with them.
What's also interesting is that it is one of the activities that combines all of the major artistic disciplines, because you have the music side, but you also have the visual art side and the design of the drill, and you have the theatrical side
and dance
in the way, and then you have dance with the color guard.
Yeah.
So, you know, all of those four arts disciplines are combined into this one area. But the other thing that's great about this, as you said, DCI tours all over the country throughout the summertime, and they're in front of literally hundreds of thousands of people across the country, helping to also spread the good word about the value and importance of music education. I've been to many shows this season, and I'm always hearing them talk about support music and how parents can get involved by going to supportmusic.com to support their own programs in their own community. So it's also a big avenue in order to get the bigger message out about the value and importance of music programs.
Yeah, there's something about that when all the hair on your body stands up because the sound is just so incredible to get one motivated to make sure every kid has this opportunity. Absolutely.
Exactly.
And, you know, this whole experience and Music for All, Bands of America, Grand Nationals has the same sort of experience of this integration of storytelling and remarkable ensemble playing and dance and theatrical and so many times original music, original choreography. I remember saying to one of our buddies on the national policy level, I said, you know, if you really want to see arts integration or multidisciplinary arts instruction, you need to see one of these experiences because it's completely integrated with all the things that kids want and can do. So it's great.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about your day job, quote unquote. You're president and CEO of Quadrant Research. We've also been grateful to support your arts data project. I was on the road with you. We were in Denver recently and had the good luck of hearing a couple of presentations about the project. And I think we'll probably do a webinar again this fall about the project and make that available to everyone on our NAM Foundation community. But just give us a thumbnail about what the Arts Ed Data Project is that you've really devoted. How many of the last years, 10, 15 years too? You've been at this for a really long time.
Yeah, last 15 years really full time, you know, working on this particular issue. And, you know, the Arts Education Data Project is simply finding a way to take existing data that's in state departments of education and making it visible and usable to the general public and to policymakers to help people understand where programs exist and where programs may not exist, so that we understand who has access to arts programs and who does not, and also look at the diversity of opportunities that those students have access to. Currently, we're in 10 states, and they include Arizona and California, Minnesota, North Carolina, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Tennessee, and Wisconsin. And people are using the data in ways that kind of run the gamut. So state policymakers are using the data to identify where there are areas to improve around equity of instruction or access to programs. So who has access and who doesn't to individual programs. And local citizens and parents are using it to compare what's happening in their particular school to maybe what's happening in a school in the same community or in a community next door to make the case for additional support, additional resources, additional teachers to help strengthen their own programs. So it really runs the gamut from use by policymakers at the state level all the way to grassroots advocates who are using it to help make the case for more support for their own programs.
And there's plans to go up beyond the 10 states, right?
Absolutely. We're operational in 10 states now. We're working on onboarding several additional states. But the plan is that by the end of 2022, that we will be in the vast majority of states. We're thinking probably 42, 43 states that will cover like 94% of the student population in the country.
Yeah, that's really terrific. I know this has been a labor of intelligence, but also a labor of love as you've gone out to build a network of people. I think what I was reminded of when I saw your presentation in Denver is that it requires sort of a nucleus of interested parties in each state yep. to get this moving. And that itself has kind of an advocacy impetus, right? I mean,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. When people come together to sort of work on something together, all of a sudden stakeholders come to the table, people get engaged. And really, I invite our listeners to go and look at one of the 10 state data projects, because then you understand that you can actually drill down to a school and you can,
Absolutely. You can
look at a building and you can see how many, what is the participation rate is for music, visual arts, theater, and dance. So,
and all the way down to the class level to see how many kids are enrolled in specific classes within each arts discipline.
And by classes, you mean subjects, right? Be it band or strings or...
Exactly. So within music, you can look at chorus or band or orchestra. And under visual art, you can actually look at ceramics or three-dimensional design. So it does get you down to a very fine level of detail to really understand what's happening in a particular school building.
And then this data is updated annually, right?
Yes. We work with the states so that the data is refreshed. And that way you have, as more data is entered, you begin to see trends over time on what's happening with the music and arts programs in those states and communities.
Well, that's terrific. Well, Bob, how can people get involved with the Arts Education Data Project?
They can go to artseddata.org. So artseddata.org. And they can see all the information, including links to our partner states currently, so that they can interact with those dashboards right now.
And if someone in a state somewhere would like to be the energy that would coalesce the effort to be part of the Arts Ed Data, how do they reach you?
They can reach out to me directly at bob@artsedresearch.org. So that's artsedresearch.org.
Great. A network. And again, we're certainly grateful for your ingenuity in this area, but mostly your persistence. I have to say, to stay at it, to have 10 states that have achieved it, we know that it requires that relentlessly positive persistence to stay on it. So what's left for you there in Indy?
Today is the semifinals of the World Championships, and the induction ceremony for the Hall of Fame was on Wednesday night, but then tonight they actually present the inductees to everyone in the stadium. So there's a ceremony this evening at the end of the semifinals. And then tomorrow we get to sit back in and watch the World Championship Finals here at Lucas Oil Stadium.
And then you'll get to walk onto the floor of the Lucas Oil Stadium to the roaring cheers of all.
That's exactly.
Wonderful. Congratulations, Bob.
And Thank you very much.
And how is Carolina Crown going to do?
Carolina Crown is going to do great. Their brass line is incredible, and they've got the top performing music portion here certainly from last night, they won music. So we're expecting to see them to do very, very well.
Yeah, we'll give our best to Andrew, and you have another child that's found her way to the music industry. Natalie, give our best to her, and have a wonderful, congratulations, Bob. Really, have
great,
a
thank you, Mary.
Celebration. And thanks for joining us here at Talking at Music Education. I've been delighted to have Bob Morrison, President CEO of Quadrant Research and recent inductee to the DCI Drum Corps International Hall of Fame, and a wonderful partner and friend in this great work we're doing together to keep music education strong. Thank you all for joining us, and have a great day.
Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAMM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAMM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAMM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. NAMM. That's Mary L-N-A-M-M.